Hello, and welcome to the Sunday service of Calvary Chapel Foothill Ranch with Pastor Steve DiNicola.
In this series, it's kind of a little mini series within the series of Hebrews. This is part 10 in Hebrews 11 in a little series I've called Living a Life That Pleases God. We've been looking at the different heroes of the Hall of Fame of faith. And this morning we're going to look at Moses' parents. So let me ask you, what are you afraid of? Some people are afraid of flying. Anybody afraid of flying? Yeah. I'm not afraid of flying. But don't ask me to jump out of the airplane. Okay, that is just nuts. Has anybody ever jumped out of the airplane, parachuted? One person, that's it? One crazy person in the back. But it's got to be the e-ticket, okay? I mean, that's got to be the most amazing thing. I just don't have the guts to do it. For me, flying and jumping out of an airplane, the closest I'm going to get is soaring over California. California Adventure. That's it. But what kind of fears do we have in our life? Who's afraid of spiders? I am. Especially big spiders. Little spiders, no problem. That's it. Big spiders. I mean big, hairy spiders that are crawling on you. Yes, that would give me the absolute creeps. Speaking of creeps, snakes. Yeah. I'm not afraid of snakes as long as they're behind glass. It's cool. When they get out from behind the glass, that's when that gets... Anything that creeps, actually, is just creepy. There's a reason they call it creepy, right? Amen? Other people are fear of heights. They have fears of heights or claustrophobia, where you're just afraid of being in tight places, like MRI machines. You know, some people are afraid of the dark. And some people are afraid of what they may be afraid of in the future. Fear, it's just like, it's interesting. I'm told that in God's word, he tells us, do not fear in different ways, 366 times in the word of God. One for every day of the year plus leap year, amen? So how can we overcome our fears? I think we overcome our fears by literally facing them and by putting our faith in someone or something. You see, faith overcomes fear. And that's what we're going to learn about today. Because Moses' parents had a faith in God that helped them to overcome fear. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can place our faith in you, Lord. And fear seems to be a common struggle, a common battle for every human being. But Father, faith is a privilege of the people of God. And so, Lord, we ask that you might increase our faith and our understanding of who you are so that we will have victory and be able to overcome fears in our life. And so, Lord, teach us through your word as we explore your word and discover more about this wonderful couple that Moses had the privilege of being able to call mom and dad. In Jesus' name, amen. Hebrews 11:23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. So our text tells us that Moses' parents hid Moses because he was a beautiful child. Really? What parents don't think that their little baby is a beautiful child? That's just ridiculous to me. It's like, have you ever heard anybody say, oh, that's an ugly baby, send him back? No, What does it matter how ridiculous? That baby can look like a monkey. Yeah, isn't that a beautiful baby? You know, it's like, so Moses' parents gave birth to this baby. He was so beautiful, they said, we can't throw him in the Nile. But the other parents, they gave birth to baby boys, and they said, oh, he's ugly. Throw him in the Nile? What is going on here? This doesn't make sense, does it? And we don't have any more in Scripture than that. Now, Josephus has some interesting things to say, and he's a Jewish historian. You've probably heard of him. He says that God actually spoke to Moses' parents. He spoke to his father in a dream, and he told him that his son was going to be the deliverer of Israel. And then there's a rabbi, Ben Ishmael, who wrote in the Melkita, and he said that God spoke a word of prophecy to Miriam, Moses' sister, that her brother was going to be a very special child. Now, those things are outside of Scripture. We don't know. It's a possibility. It does help me make sense out of what Scripture does tell us. And we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if they indeed got a word from God, they had the faith to believe that this child had a special call on his life by God. So let's look at what transpired in the days between Joseph, who we talked about last week, and Moses. We're talking a lot of years. You know, over 300 years have gone by now. In Exodus chapter 1, verses 8 through 14, it says this, Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, Look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply, and it happen in the event of war that they also join our enemies and fight against us, and so go up out of the land. Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh supply cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, and the more they multiplied and grew, and they were dread of the children of Israel. So the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar, in brick, and all manner of service in the field. All their service in which they made them serve was with rigor. So Pharaoh thought that this would discourage the people of Israel. And he just heaped on burden after burden after burden upon their lives. And yet they multiplied and kept multiplying, and God just kept blessing them. It didn't hinder them at all. So next, Pharaoh, you know the story, he orders the midwives to just kind of sneakily, when a Hebrew woman gives birth to a baby boy, start tossing some of them in the Nile River. But it says the midwives feared God, and they didn't obey the voice of Pharaoh. So then, desperate, he comes up with this evil plan, and he sends his henchmen in to now go after the Israelite boys, baby boys, and throw them into the river for crocodile food. It says in verse 22, So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, Every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. There's a wonderful couple, a Levite, who marries a daughter of a Levite, and they have children. They have a son, they have a daughter. And then all of a sudden, the wife is pregnant again. And she's pregnant during these desperate times. She gives birth to a child that happens to be a baby boy. So let's look at their story, because that's what this message is about. Their story. Moses' mom, Moses' dad. And it references Moses' mom's faith in the Scriptures more than the dad, but the dad was very integral and very much a part of it as well. So Moses' story actually begins as the writer of Hebrews tells us, with the faith of his parents. Exodus chapter 2, verse 1. And a man of the house of Levi went and took as his wife a daughter of Levi. So the women conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, dabbed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river bank. And his sisters stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when they saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she had opened it, she saw a child. And behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for her?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him, and the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And so she called his name Moses, because she said, "I have drawn him out of the water." Did you notice once again, here in the Old Testament reference, Moses was a beautiful child. Wow, I'd like to see his baby picture. Acts chapter 7, remember we talked about it last week, Stephen, the first martyr, he gives a whole historical account of the Jewish people. And in it, he references a couple of things regarding this same event. Acts chapter 7, verses 17 through 21. "But when the time of the promise drew near, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose who did not know Joseph. This man dealt treacherously with our people and opposed our forefathers, making them expose their babies so that they might not live. At this time Moses was born and was well pleasing to God, and he was brought up in his father's house for 3 months. And when he was set out, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and brought him up as her own." So here, Stephen refers to Moses as well-pleasing to God, as a baby. I mean, he's just a baby. He's just born, and he's well-pleasing to God. What does that mean? That's interesting, isn't it? But there's another piece of information I think that's very important that Stephen gives us in verse 17. Did you notice it says, "When the time of the promise drew near, which God had sworn to Abraham." What promise? See, that's a very key part of the story as well. Back in Genesis 15, and we've referenced that promise in this little mini-series on faith, it says, "The Lord said to Abram, 'Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in the land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years.'" So God had promised to his people that they would be servants, they would be afflicted for 400 years. So that time was coming closer to an end. God's people had more hope for deliverance. So hope might have been stirring a little bit in the hearts of the people, but it was under a mountain of fear, because they lived in a time when fear and dread was just caving in on the people of God. Fear was high, but faith overcomes what? Fear, right? So I think we can learn a lot of things through a study in this little one verse in Hebrews about Moses' parents. Three things we're going to find out about faith. The first one is this: faith enables us to hold on to what God has given us in spite of fear and obstacles. Faith enables us to hold on to what God has given us in spite of fear and obstacles. So we don't know exactly what little baby Moses looked like, but I'll tell you this, we do know this. When Moses' parents looked into the face of their child and they saw this little baby boy, they saw the image of God. They saw God's image stamped upon this child. That was enough. That was enough. They knew this child had been made in the very image of God, and they looked into their son and they saw the image of God. And I think you and I as parents, we need to look into our children's eyes, look into their souls, look upon them and see the image of God. We need to see the image of God in our children. We need to see things that maybe other people can't see. Thomas Edison was an amazing man, and he invented so many things. Some of the ones I looked up was phonograph, light bulbs. He invented motion pictures, and he invented the whole electrical systems grid that we actually depend upon every day. So light bulbs, phonograph, movie pictures, and electrical systems grid. And I thought about that. I thought, if it weren't for Thomas Edison, Rich Cristiano would be out of work. And you and I would have been singing a cappella this morning in the dark. Amazing guy, amazing guy. So anyway, early in his life, Thomas Edison's mom got a note from his teacher. She said, "We cannot teach your child anymore. He is dumb." Thomas Edison's mom wrote back to the teacher and said, "You don't see my child like I see my child. He's not dumb. I'll teach him." And she did. Yeah. She saw something in her son that his teacher couldn't see. He learned differently. And we as parents, we need to be able to see the potential in our children, especially maybe that other people can't see, in spite of obstacles that they face. You know, sometimes fear can cause us to cave in as people and be disobedient to God because of fear. We're afraid. When we encounter obstacles, we become fearful, and then we can be actually disobedient to God. And too often, Christians, this is an amazing thing, Christians will be disobedient to God because they're afraid of the consequences of being obedient to God. That was Jonah's problem, wasn't it? And too many Christians fear, it's like, I don't want to surrender everything to God because then he might ask me to do whatever. He might ask me to give up this. He might ask me to go there. I'm afraid to do that. Wait a minute. You're afraid to be obedient to God? You fear being obedient to God, so therefore you'll be disobedient. That doesn't make any sense. We should fear being disobedient to God, and therefore we are obedient. You see how fear can just mess our head and our faith and our whole lives up. It's so sad. It's so sad. So people need to know that God is good and God is trustworthy. I think if we have a warped sense of the image of God and the character of God, we start to think that he isn't good. Therefore, we got to fear that he might ask us to do something that's not going to be good. Would God ever ask us to do something that's not going to be good? Never. Because he is good. When we're afraid of God or afraid of surrendering fully to God, we don't know him. We don't truly know him. We don't know his character. We don't know that he's good because faith overcomes our fears. In fact, it's when you and I have fears that we need faith most. I love this verse in Isaiah 51. It says, "Listen to me." This is God's heart. "Listen to me. You who know righteousness, you people in whose heart is my law, do not fear the reproach of man, nor be afraid of their insults. For the moth will eat them up like a garment. The worm will eat them like wool. But my righteousness will be forever my salvation from generation to generation." So here's Moses' parents, and they are literally swept up into this divine narrative that God has for them. And they are asked, as ordinary people, they are asked by God and actually chosen and called by God to do what? Something extraordinary. They're just ordinary people. And God wants them to do something super extraordinary. You're giving me a baby boy now? Why now? Couldn't it have been a few years earlier? God's asking ordinary people to do extraordinary things every day. Every day he asks you and I to do extraordinary things. Perhaps you feel like an ordinary person today. Yeah, I'm just an ordinary Christian. You know, I'm an ordinary person. And God's calling you to believe for something extraordinary, to do something for him that you feel is just extraordinary. It's beyond. Yeah. Welcome to the life of faith. Can you imagine how difficult it was for Moses' parents to hide a baby in that environment for 3 months? The dread, every time that baby made a peep, it's like, ooh, being found out, the fear of the consequences. Kind of reminds me of those that hid Jews during World War II. The fear, constant, every day. Every day, to hold on to that baby. But faith gave them the courage and enabled them to hold on when everything inside of them was so afraid. So that's the first thing we learn about faith. The second thing we learn about faith is faith enables us to let go of the things God has given us in spite of our fears and circumstances. So they're holding on to this little child, and then without any explanation, we get no commentary. All of a sudden, after 3 months, Moses' mom puts Moses in a basket and sends him down the river. Can you imagine how hard that had to have been? It would almost have been easier just to have done that right after he was born. Take him away and put him in a basket. Let's see what happens. No, no, no. She held this baby. She nursed this baby. She loved this baby for 3 months. And now she's got to let this baby go. Well, that takes faith. It takes faith to hold on. Now it takes faith to let go. Faith caused Moses' parents. I love the what happened. What happened and the way they did it. They thought creatively. They thought out of the box. And faith will help us to think out of the box. If we're not frozen in fear, fear causes us to be box thinkers. You know, faith causes us to think out of the parameters. I love what they did. They complied to Pharaoh's law by putting their baby in the Nile River. We obey the law. That's what he said to do. Here's what we're going to do. So she makes this little bow. You know, she entrusts her child to God. And she just sends him down the river in Egypt. She confronts danger with faith. She had to trust God. And there are so many times in your life and my life where we have to trust God. We are right there, our backs are against the wall, and it's like, I've got to let this go. I've got to send this little baby down the river. I've got to trust God to guide, to protect, to provide, to do what I cannot do. Yeah, you and I have that same challenge. Constantly in life, it just like Moses' mom did. And so we read the story. Moses' mom gets hired to nurse your own child. How cool is that? How many of you got paid to nurse your child? Yeah, would that be great? Yeah, I get paid for this. This is kind of cool. She raised him for about 3 to 4 years, we think, till he was weaned. In that culture, that would be about 3 to 4 years. Now, in Acts chapter 7, we're told in verse 22 that Moses was raised in all the ways of Egypt, and he was mighty in word and deed. So Moses was raised in all the ways and the wisdom, the knowledge, all the education of Egypt, and he was mighty in word and deed. Something happened somewhere along the line. We don't know where. Something shattered Moses. Something changed because he became broken, and it caused him to have a problem with his speech. We think he stuttered or something. So he was mighty in word and deed at one time, but later in life he stutters. Perhaps he didn't speak well. We don't know exactly what that all meant. So when God calls Moses in the desert, Moses tells God, "Hey, I'm sorry, God, but I can't speak. I can't do what you told me to do." And God says, "Well, that's okay. Your brother Aaron, he'll speak for you." Don't you hate it when God doesn't accept your excuses? I hate it. God may call you to do something, and you say, wait, God, I'm not quite qualified for that. I don't think I can do that. I'm broken. I'm weak. God doesn't accept excuses like that. That's all I can tell you. He doesn't. He didn't accept Moses' excuse. He takes away our excuses. So it appears in Moses' early life that he spoke very well. He was very eloquent. What happened? What shattered him? We don't know, but I'll tell you this. I do know this, because if you go back and read the dialogue between Moses and God, you find out it was all God's doing. God allowed Moses to be shattered. He allowed Moses to be broken. He said, "Who are you to tell me? I make the dumb not speak. I'm the one. I allow those shattering, those weaknesses. Why? So that you might see that I am your strength. You're not going to trust in your strengths. I am going to get the glory," God says. So you might be here today and you might say, "Lord, I'm broken. I'm weak. I'm too old. I'm not smart enough. I can't speak well enough. I'm not good enough. I've sinned way too much." Sorry. God doesn't take those excuses. He doesn't. God, perhaps, has now prepared you to be used by him. Have you ever considered it that way? So many times we think, well, we must be, I can't do this because I don't have the strength that I had, or the abilities that I had, or the talents I had, or the resources I had. Maybe God has finally gotten you to a place where he can actually use you to get more glory. Have we ever considered that? Yeah. So we're told that Moses was trained in all the ways of Egypt. And I found that interesting because there's a time when every one of us as parents, we have to say goodbye to our kids. We have to release our kids to Egypt, to be trained by Egypt. That's what Moses' mom had to do. And look what God does. He raises a savior for the Jewish people in the household of Pharaoh. And he actually brings down the whole kingdom through Pharaoh's grandson. That's like Hitler having children and one of his grandchildren bringing down all of Nazism. That's kind of the par of this, if we realize the scale and the magnitude of what God is doing. Moses' parents refused to be controlled by fear. That's what Hebrews tells us. They refused to be controlled by fear, and they literally released their child. And that takes great faith to release our children to the will of God. Think about that. Close your eyes as a parent and say, have I released my child to God's will? That's a hard thing for a parent, because we think we know better. And sometimes we don't understand God's will. But to release your children to God's will, and certainly it would be difficult for Moses' parents to understand the will of God in these circumstances. Wouldn't it have been better for him to be raised here in our home, loved by me and by my husband? But the Bible tells us God has not given us a spirit of fear, but what? Power, love, and a sound mind. Yeah. So where they put their child after hiding him for 3 months is right in Pharaoh's household, right under his nose. How did Moses come to know God while he's raised in Pharaoh's household? He's around all of Egypt, all of the gods and all of the perversities and the weirdness of Egypt. Well, I believe, and most people believe, most commentators, is that Moses' parents taught him as a young child those early years about God. And I think that so many parents make a mistake in thinking that their children can't really have genuine faith as a young child. Well, I'm saying 3, 4, 5 years old. Moses seemed to. Moses got it, and I think our kids can. Because what? The Word of God is spirit and it's life. It's not just intellectual. It's revelation. The Word of God is revelation. Somebody told me, I think it was in our prayer meeting or something. Somebody told me just recently, it was in our Wednesday study. Someone said they had read the Bible and didn't understand anything of it. And all of a sudden they got born again and everything came alive. Yeah, because the Word of God is spirit and it's life. It's revelation. We need the Holy Spirit to understand it. And the Holy Spirit can communicate to a little child as well as he can to a big, smart adult. Maybe. Jesus said, maybe a little child gets it better than the big smart adults. Yeah, right? So can I ask you, what does faith look like in your home? What does it look like in your home when the doors are closed and you come home from church on Sunday or Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday? What does it look like? Do our kids get the message of faith from you and me as parents? Are they getting that message of faith? Because dads, our kids need to see us love our wives sacrificially. That's what our kids need to see. They need to see dad loves mom, not just loves and hugs and wants to get all over and smooch, but loves her sacrificially. He serves her sacrificially. And moms, our kids need to see that we as mothers are respecting our husbands. Yeah, giving them the respect that they deserve. That's key. And you know, kids are hypocrisy like hypermeters, you know. They can spot hypocrisy. We may think, oh, we only argue behind closed doors. Baloney, you and I were kids. We knew when it was going on with our parents, and our kids know. They can feel the temperature in the room when it gets icy cold. We're not fooling them. They may not know how to say anything or do anything, but they know. And they can see true love, and they can discern true respect. Interesting verse in 2 Kings 17, it says, but the Lord your God you shall fear. He will deliver you from the hand of all your enemies. However, it says this about the people of God. They did not obey, but they followed their former rituals. Now look what they did. Verse 41, it says, so these nations feared the Lord, yet they served their carved images. So these people, they didn't follow the Lord, but they feared the Lord. So they still went through the motions of Jehovah worship, but they still served their carved images. They had their little idols in their home. So they went to the temple, but they came home and they bowed down to their little idols. How do you think that played out with their kids? You say, we don't know? Oh, yeah, we know. Exactly. It just goes on. Also, their children and their children's children have continued doing as their fathers did, even to this day. Yeah. They just followed right along. And that's what happens with our kids. So our kids need to see dads sacrificially loving mom, moms respecting their husbands. Do we tell our kids faith stories? Yeah, tell them about things that God has done in your life, in your life personally, things you've witnessed personally. Are you sharing faith stories with your kids? And if you're here as a grandparent, hi, Gramps, it ain't too late. In fact, grandparents have a little extra edge over parents. Because I think grandkids kind of tune in to grandma and grandpa a little bit better a lot of times than they do their parents. So we as grandparents, we have the privilege of sharing God stories, faith stories with our grandchildren. We need to do that. We need to be passing this on to our next generations. That's what Moses' parents did. So faith enables us to hold on to what God has given us in spite of our fear and obstacles. Faith enables us to let go of the things God has given us in spite of our fears and circumstances. And thirdly, faith enables us to wait on God's promises, even if we never see them materialize during our lifetime. And that's a tough thing. We need faith to do that. Moses' parents, they're not even named. We've read scriptures about the account of Moses in Exodus 2, in Acts 7, in Hebrews 11. They're not even named. We only know their parents' name because they happen to be placed in a genealogy for Moses. So they got named because they're in Moses' genealogy. In chapter 6 of Exodus, verse 20, it says, now Amram took for himself Jochebed, his father's sister, as wife, and she bore him Aaron and Moses, and the years of the life of Amram were 137. So Hebrews 11, the hall of fame of faith, Abel, Enoch, Noah, you know, then we've got Jacob and Isaac and Joseph and Abraham, and then we come to Moses' parents. Everybody else gets a name. Moses' parents, they're just Moses' parents. Not Amram and Jochebed. They knew their names, but they are unnamed. Why? It's almost like they're nobodies. They probably felt like nobodies. Think about their lives. They felt like nobodies. They were in a place where they had no power, no position, and no ability to change anything or make anything happen. Moses' parents teach us that someone that is a nobody with no power and no position to make any changes or cause anything to happen can affect the whole world. Wow. Yeah. Why? Because of their what? Faith. It was their faith. It was only by faith. It wasn't that they had position, power, or any abilities. They had one thing, the quality that God admires most in his people, and that is faith. And it changed everything. Everything. For you and I today, we're reaping the benefits of their faith. Faith can affect others in great ways. Think about Timothy in the Bible. You know, where did his faith come from? His mother and his grandmother. Yeah, faith's contagious. We can pass faith on from generation to generations. And so Moses' parents taught Moses about God and instilled that seed of faith in his heart that God grew. You see, Moses had an assignment from God to fulfill, didn't he? He was going to be God's deliverer. And his parents acted in faith to ensure that he would fulfill God's plan. So they had a very precious little time with their son. Don't we all as parents have a very precious little time with our children? And they poured every bit of faith in God and trust and knowledge and of the understanding of him into their son's life that they could. Key point is, our investment of faith counts for eternity. Their investment of faith counts for eternity. And think about this. The last thing that Moses' mother and father knew about Moses, probably. So he was born 40 years later at the age of 40. So he's raised in Pharaoh's household. You know, whenever the paper came out, they were looking at the paper. What's going on with Pharaoh's grandson, Moses? Because they wanted to know. They had their radar up. They were always looking, wanting to know what's going on with Moses. And you can't imagine the heartache they must have experienced when they found out Moses murders Egyptian soldier. Moses, fugitive from Pharaoh and his army. Moses flees the country. He's out on the backside of the desert. Their hearts must have been broken. That's the last news they probably got of their child. Because it isn't until Moses is 80 years old, 40 years later, that he comes back to Egypt. And at the 80-year-old mark, probably mom and dad have already passed on. So the last they heard was Moses was a murderer. Moses, my son, was a murderer. So Moses' mom, Moses' dad had faith that waited even when they didn't see the fulfillment of the promise that had been given. Moses' dad's name is interesting. His name is Amram, and it's a combination of two words. It means this, a people or a flock, and then the second word means to take away or to exalt. So a people or a flock to take away or to exalt. Jochebed is a combination of two words as well. Yah, combination of Jehovah or Jehovah gets the glory. Or to God be the glory. So these two parents had names that are very prophetic. Dad has a name of a people or a flock who are taken away or exalted, and mom has to God be the glory. Isn't that an amazing thing? These parents, just in their names, were prophetic in the mission and the ministry of Moses. So, what about you? We've talked a lot about Moses and Moses' parents. What about you today? You might be a parent, you might be a grandparent, and you might say, I don't like what I see in my kids. I don't like what the headlines have said in our family about my child. That might be what you know today. Are you willing, are you able to believe God in spite of what you see in your child, your grandchild today? Are you able, are you willing to believe God in spite of what you see in your husband or your wife today? Are you willing to believe God in spite of what you see in your family member, your friend, your coworker today? See, faith will enable us to believe in spite of what we see. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. So I want you to stand with me, and today we're going to end by praying for our prodigals.
We hope God has spoken to you through this podcast. Tell your friends, and please visit us on the web at www.calvarychapelfoothillranch.com.